very cooler. So, welcome all officers of the Security Hopeland, Office of Hopeland Security. I was ordered by my probation officer to give this talk about handcuff hacking to you. It's kind of backwards whistleblowing, so I give the criminal skills to you legal people. Whistlefucking, that's the right term, correctly. So, advanced handcuff hacking is basically what the criminals do, and you should know about it so you can act properly in your daily duty. I'll give a short overview of the talk. That's the overview. We start a short part on the basics of handcuffs, because I know all of you in your busy day don't have time to check everything, so because we don't know your stuff so far. Then we'll talk about concealed keys. That's a real serious issue. People are concealing keys all over the place, and you should know how that is done. Improvised tools, even if they don't have tools, they make the keys from whatever they find. It's really dangerous. Then I want to introduce a few new cuffs which are around, as well in Europe, also as in the US. So you know the new stuff you can buy to get your prisoners cuffed. And then there's the newest deal in the criminal industry. They're using actually computers. You really should forbid this stuff to produce working handcuff keys. So that's a pain in the ass, but we can't do anything about it. Okay, the basics. That's a standard handcuff. It has a very simple mechanism usually. This is the bow here. I hope you can see the mouse pointer, because I can't laser point here. And there's a two-part mechanism with having the spring-loaded poles, which builds a ratchet together with the bow. And down here there's a bar which you can depress from the side. And if it's pressed, the pole can't move down anymore, so the cuff is completely locked and can't get open or closed. One thing about handcuffs I think most people know is that every brand has a slightly different key, but more or less the major ones are all the same, except for a few parts of a millimeter. If you check all the available keys, you will find out that the key from ASP and from Smith & Wesson actually opens most of the brands available in the market today. So if you want to be prepared, just have one of those, and whatever your colleague officers use, it will open the cuffs. Especially if you modify the Smith & Wesson key a little bit by filing down a small part here and adding the slot, you even can open the ASP and UL High Security cuffs, whose keys are only sold to your office. So if you don't want to go through all the hassle of ordering it that way, you can simply modify this key. Here is a measurement made by Tool and presented at DEFCON before, so thanks for the picture, which is basically the perfect measurements to open basically everything on the market, but it's basically what you get when you modify this Smith & Wesson key. So that's a good thing to know. I think I put the slides online somewhere in the Hopeland Security intranet, so you can download it later, but you can of course photograph it right now. Okay, if you don't have a key, the standard ways of opening handcuffs are shimming and bypassing possibly. Shimming, I don't know if you can see it here, is when you put a small piece of metal between the bow and the pole. So it goes in together with the teeth of the bow and separates the two. Possibly we can just show it here if I find the... do we have enough light? I think so, yeah. So by going in here together with the bow, it separates the pole as it goes open. So that's really simple. The other way is coming from the other side, which I think I can't demo right now. So coming from this side, if the cuff is not closed very much, and the nice thing about this, this case works with basically everything of the size of the distance here. And that doesn't need to be very thin. You can press down the pole simply from this side and then open the bow. Of course, both these methods don't work when the cuffs are double locked, which I think your office already ordered you to always do, because the danger of injury, your prisoner could get the cuffs too tight and then afterwards go to court and say, oh, he cuffed me too close and everything, so always double lock your cuffs. So if you don't have the keys, the cuff is double locked, you have to get rid of the double lock, and you can usually do that using the key. It's done by turning the key in the opposite direction as for opening. So what you can hear, here's the keyhole, I don't think you can see it very good. but usually key goes down here and depresses the pawl. The double lock is opened by rotating the other way, so the key goes around here and moves the double locking bar just over to the right side. Yeah. So all you have to do when you want to pick it with some other tool is to somehow move that part over there. You can usually do it by simulating the movement of the key, but depending on the exact calf configuration, you also can turn it the other way, get through here. So just somehow poke this thing at the bottom to the right, and then you can either shim or whatever method to use to get the pawl down. One nice thing about the double lock is that there are some models which have a very heavy bar here. I think this could be one of them. So the mass of this is high enough that a small impact will get it out. I think I can show this here. Destroying the whole conference setup. So this is normally custom or double locked. Usually double lock it by pushing in this button with the key so it doesn't move anymore, and I couldn't shim or bypass it right now. So if I take it and hammer it in this direction, so like the double lock went up this way, so I have to go this on some object, the double lock is out again. But as I said, it depends on the strength of the spring and the mass of the double locking bar. I don't know if you saw my talk 4 years ago at Hope about the high security cuffs, which I don't have here right now, but you can watch a video from 4 years ago. They put a very high secure lock on the top, but it only was good for locking the double lock, so you could simply hammer it out and shim the cuff like normal, ignoring that high security lock. Okay, so if you don't want to do that, we have the concealed keys. There are different kinds of this. First version is just a normal key, which is hidden somewhere. This, for example, is a belt keeper, as you know from your duty belt, to keep your gear apart. It looks just like a normal belt keeper on the belt, but in the inside, there's a standard key, which is also basically the universal proportions, so you can turn it out and use it. But it usually is not identified if looking at your belt. So if some criminal guy handcuffs you with your own handcuffs, he probably won't find that. There's another one, the tactical handcuff key. Looks like a very high quality item. It's basically two plastic parts. One also clips to your belt. The other one can be used as a zipper help, so you add it to the zipper of your jacket or whatever. And when you open it up, there's a normal key inside. So it comes with a key, but you can basically put any key you have inside there. So, and the other form of concealed keys is plastic keys. Plastic keys, of course, have a small advantage. They can't be found by metal detectors. So if you're really annoyed, if you go to jail to visit a prisoner or anything, you know you're sweet and everything, you have to give up your equipment, using the plastic key, there's no problem. So you can have that in your pocket, go through the metal gate, nobody will bother you, so just keep your keys with you. It's very, very convenient. This one here is actually, I think, also sold down there on the second floor. It has two little holes in there, which enables it to be sewn into your clothes. So either you can use it instead of a button, of course it doesn't look really like a button, or you can sew it from the other side to a button, because if someone is patting you down, he will feel the button and not realize that on the other side they're sewn something like that. So you should know that when checking somebody. I'm sure the Department of Homeland Security does it all the time. I heard the passport controls are very hard here. So be sure to check every button for hidden keys. Of course, it's unrealistic, but I have to tell you that. It will be a new order, I think, next week. Okay. So this nice thing is another, even more smaller zipper. You just also add it to your jacket, to whatever it looks like, a handle for the zipper. But if you move up the small plastic part, a small plastic key come out. This also is a basically universal key, and it works on most handcuffs. Of course, it's not as strong as a metal key, so you can't use it too often, but it will work in emergency situations. These I got from eBay, so if you search on eBay for concealed handcuff keys or plastic handcuff keys or stuff, you will find variations of these. For example, also like that one. That's actually a survival bracelet consisting of a very strong part of, not wire, but cord. So cord, you always need a cord for something, getting up a building or something. And here on the top, you can't see, is the buckle. And when you open the buckle, there's again the this small plastic key inside. The nice thing is you can also buy this buckle with the key as a separate item, and for example add it to your rucksack or whatever where there's a buckle of about the size, plastic buckle, it won't be really recognized by anybody searching for handcuff keys or unusual items, and of course it's again plastic, so it's not found by the metal detectors. Okay, let's assume all the concealed keys were forgotten at home, the standard keys is not there, you have to improvise. So, no key, no pixel available. The basic advice is look around you. There's always something which is of metal, is bendable, whatever. And there's also a good thing to learn from movies. So here's a short movie break for your entertainment. It's a scene from the movie U.S. Marshals. Who knows the movie? A few, so you know the scene already. Sorry for that, you can leave now. But it's good for you just to know the text, because I only have the German version. That is made so the copyright reasons are not that problematic. If you want ice cream, there should be a lady. Oh, sorry, she's not there. Too bad. So, here's the movie U.S. Marshals. I hope.
XL-17, Bullen, Kaliber 22. Er hat gefunden mit seinem kleinen Taschenhändchen.
Oh,
was? Was zum Teufel soll das?
What are you doing?
Sie, was? Das war mein Handy. Das war mein eigenes.
Sie sind vorläufig festgenommen. Behinderung bundespolizeilicher Ermittlungen. Sie haben das Recht.
Ich bin eine Anklage.
Das reicht, Superman.
Sind Sie verrückt? Ist der Kerl verrückt oder was?
Nein, aber gefährdet.
Mein Vorgesetzten wird das nicht gefallen.
Ich bin Ihr Vorgesetzter. Runter und Klappe halten.
Wenn es Informationen gibt, die Sie für sich behalten, kann es passieren, dass er ausflippt.
Deputy, nehmen Sie mir sofort diese Handschellen ab.
Please remove these cuffs.
Machen Sie es doch selber.
Do it yourself. So now, look around you. Oh, what do we have here?
Hey, was haben Sie vor? Was hat er vor?
What is he doing?
Cool. Was wollen Sie jetzt sehen? Soll ich Regenwürmer essen?
Beachtliche
Leistung. Wirklich raffiniert. Der Kerl hat meine Sonnenbrille kaputt gemacht.
He destroyed my glasses.
Verrückt, das sehe ich heute zum ersten Mal.
I never seen that before.
Ich nicht.
I did. So. Should be it. Okay. So, look around you. Find something that might work. But of course it's a movie. So, is a movie really realistic? What do you think? Who thinks it works? One people. Who thinks that was fake? Who thinks it was fake but it actually works? So, there was a German TV show which did something like a Mythbusters style analysis of the scene, or basically it was that scene, because there's another scene which is a little bit longer, where a criminal, I think Wesley Snipes is it, does basically the same thing earlier in the movie. And the German TV show wanted to find out, is this really possible or is it just a movie miss. So, yeah, you saw he didn't double lock. He just put them on there and threw his phone away. So you have to set your priorities. Either double lock or throw the phone away. He decided to throw the phone away. Possibly a bad idea. Okay, so this German TV show was indeed very clever, because they thought, oh, let's ask an expert. So let's see the expert.
Auch versuchen mit dem Brillenbügel in das Schloss zu kommen.
That's the end of the
Brillenbügel, der ist jetzt noch ein bisschen zu gerade, um das Schloss zu manipulieren, aber den kann man relativ einfach im Schloss der Handschelle selber entsprechend abbiegen, dass man hier eine Winkelform hat, mit dem man dann nachher in das Schloss reinkommt.
Klappt mit dem groben Bügel, was Ray sonst mit...
Aber schauen wir mal.
Dramatic. Will it work?
Diesmal hat Ray tatsächlich etwas mehr zu kämpfen. Der Winkel scheint jetzt ein anderer zu sein.
Different.
Doch dann...
Oh.
No, it's cool.
So, it actually works. So I want to...
Harry,
you are under arrest for the presentation of a movie that is copyrighted. It's a movie under German copyright, and you are presenting it in a country where it's not licensed from. You are under arrest.
I bought the license on YouTube.
Ah, I don't believe you. Give me your hand.
What are you? What are you doing here?
I'm coughing you up. What? Come with me.
I think that's a misunderstanding. I think there's something like the fair use and it's a citation, Mr. Officer.
No.
Can I borrow your glasses for a moment? Okay, go back to Germany and get your copyright laws learned. Okay. So that actually was no fake, it actually works. The reason is it's not really working inside the keyhole because it's too thick. But this was a handcuff, like an American model, the Hyatt Thompson, which is very popular, which has the keyhole to the upside. So I don't have really to go around or move it. I just had to bend it to the side where the paws are, and then it presses them down. So that's a nice thing, and it shows that the tools don't always have to be the thin thing to fit inside the keyhole. They just have to fit inside the slot. Of course, only if it is not double locked, but we don't know if in the movie it was. It wasn't in the one scene. And we know ways to get the double lock away. Of course, in the movie, the scene was faked anyway, because you can see he threw them down and both cuffs open at the same time. That would really be very tricky to do. So the three people who said it was fake but really works were right. Congratulations. Okay. That really works well for my slide, but okay. So, talking about new cuffs. They're not all to improve security. There are some just silly models or interesting models. This here is a strange thing. It's really very, very new. It's invented by a fellow officer, but I think he's not from the Hopeland Security, but from some other official agency, a lower one, I guess. It's quite high quality. It's casted from stainless steel completely, so it's an expensive process. It's also an expensive cuff, so I'm not really sure if people will buy it. But it is a funny feature. I'm not sure if you can understand it, but one side here can be rotated in one direction, but not back. So...
Right here.
Shouldn't leave the keys, otherwise I need the glasses again. So, if you have your hands in here, I won't do that now because I just think you want to that they do it. And you have the hands in it, the officer turns it like this way, and then you're like this, and then you can't grab his gun or anything, but it can't turn back. So it's really not very convenient. The problem with that is I think that they get injury. Law cases and everything, because if you bend it even more and stuff like that, it's a little bit dangerous. And the other thing is, they're very proud that they increased the size here, so it fits most sizes of wrists and everything. But if you're not this bodybuilder guy with this type of hand, you can turn your hands inside. And if you can do that, you can simply go around, turn your hands, and get back to the standard position. So, in case you are arrested using this silly cuffs, or it's actually nice cuffs, but not really sought to the end. Then just make sure that they are not applied too tight, like, oh, it's too tight and everything. Then possibly it won't work, really. But it's a nice mechanism anyway, an original idea, new on the market. We'll see what happens. I guess it will be a collector's item, so I keep mine. So something different. Actually not a new cuff on the block, but a new thing to show, because I never... was able to show what actually happens. It's a very unique thing because it's a complete toolless attack. So it's an handcuff on the German market for quite some time, I would say. And it was used by basically all German police officers from 1970 to, I think 2000 something. And it has a very nice feature that you can activate the double lock, not with the key, but just by pressing in the side. I think it should have hit here. I'm so organized. I put it all together and now it's done. I was looking for it in the box. So this is the cuff. And you can activate the double lock just by pressing in here. So now it's locked. That's a nice thing. The problem is that with this part, you can also grab the ratchet. So the new thing in this talk is that I actually opened the cuff and made this nice picture where you can see this is the pawl. The pawl, you can imagine, moves down when you put in the bow. Because every time the bow has to go more one tease more, it has to press down the pawl to the maximum down position. And here's the part during the double lock. So if you press here, this moves there. The intended mode of operation is like this. So you press it in, and then it's here below the pawl, blocking the pawl from going down. But if you use it in the other way, and you bring the pawl to move down before, now by pressing in here, you can get the double locking pawl against this nicely roundly shaped part. And I think the only reason this is shaped around is that they thought, oh, it looks nice here for the way that the key moves. Because actually the key only goes here. It presses here down, so there's no reason for this to be shaped round. It's just because I think the engineer, oh, just it was in the CAD program, whatever, made it round. So it actually even presses it more down. And this is very nice. I can try to show it. Of course, I think you would love if I get cuffed again. And it doesn't work, but I won't. So the thing you have to do is to press it in like half or three parts of a notch. So here now it's locked, of course. Try to... Oh, now I got too far. You'd have about as many tries until your wrist gets blue. So now you actually feel a little bit that you got it somehow. Then if you got that you see there's a resistance against, you can't press it anymore, then you can press the bow farther because only press it is more down, it won't get it anyway, and then it's open. So this really is a unique attack because without any tools, I think it's really hardly possible to get any real use police cuff open except for that one. And the nice thing is it's still in use somewhere because exchanging cuffs is expensive. And actually, the producer changed it without any marking, so there's no real way to tell the difference between the old and the new one. They've changed that. They made it a little straight first. The version which is straight here is harder to manipulate. And then they finally made it a little beveled here, so it actually pushes it up again. That's the way to fix it, but it took two iterations until that model came out. You can recognize it by looking here inside or by just simply trying to put down the pawl with something and then pressing. If you feel it's going up, then you have the new model. But of course, that's not a convenient way to tell your officers, please check your handcuff by pressing with a screwdriver, pressing on the side, see if it comes up. So possibly a marking like new model or model B or whatever would have been a good idea. But of course, then you would admit that you had a failure in it. So, bad for them. Yeah, I made actually... view-in version of this with here a plexiglass, acrylic glass version on top, so you can play around with that, and just as an announcement, I will have in the last slide, but we'll have a session to try out the cuffs, try out the shims and everything I brought at 8 o'clock, so after the other lockpicking talk, which is happening after my talk in the other room. In the lockpicking area, there will be a hands-on, hands-in whatever session, if you want to try out, have a look at the stuff, come down at 8 p.m. after the other talk to the second level, the tool area, and there you can see that and try it out yourself and look inside while doing so. Okay, just for the completeness, there's a new model, but like the tough cuff which I showed before, this is about 3 times as expensive. I first thought it won't really get adopted because paying 3 times as much for a handcuff as before is quite a lot for an official agency, but actually most agencies in Germany seem to switch to this now. And it's also sold in the US. I found an online shop. The nice thing is they're saying sales are restricted in Germany, but we now are able to offer the unique Kliuso Model 9 handcuffs. Because in Germany they're only selling to police officers. Here I could simply order one and get it. No, but actually I got already one in Germany because there are people leaking this stuff. And it's also a very silly concept to sell cuffs only to, I mean, things might get copied, things get around, so it's not really a high security concept. Okay, what you can see here, I'm not sure if you can see it, is German engineering. There's actually six springs, so there's like five plates, so it's quite a puzzle to get together. And here's the result. It's three ports. Here's a stack above each other. You see the top one, and there's sheets of metal between them. So the thing is actually the key has to have three very thin parts. As you think you could see it. I don't have the key right now. That's not nice of me. I should have showed you the key better. But that here is the key, and this is three very thin parts coming out of the side. So that is actually needed to bring down the ports. The flaw in the design is that it's not needed to open the double lock. Because here, there are no sheets at all. Any thick thing which goes in here is able to press out the double lock. The only thing, what they did is they made it very hard to put out the double lock, actually by adding a second spring just to hold it in place. So it's really one of these six springs is to hold the double lock extra strong. But a hook from your lock picking set or something like that will push out the double lock. And then you theoretically can shim it. The other thing is they have a shim protection built in. You can see it in this picture, and it's this little notch here at the top of the pawl. The idea is if you put in the shim from this side, it usually slides at the bottom of the cuff and it gets caught here by this notch. And it actually works. If you try to put in the shim, you hit against the pawl and won't be able to shim the handcuff. But, of course, as we saw in the last handcuff model, you have a way of manipulating the pawl and pressing it down by tightening your cuff. So if you tighten the cuff half a notch, the pawl gets depressed a little, and this anti-shim protection also is out of the way. So put in the pawl a little, put in the shim, and the cuff is shimmed. So a nice idea, but doesn't work. So there's a third cuff, which is not available in the US, and it's basically not available in Germany also. Because it's again, I think, 1.5 times more expensive as the one I showed before. So we're talking like $150 now for a pair of handcuffs, while a normal Smith & Wesson cuff here in the US costs $20. So it's not really realistic that it gets used widely. One special forces unit in Germany is supposed to have it, but nobody ever seen it in real. But I think it's interesting to show, because they really put some engineering in there. It's all also stainless steel casted. It's just silly, funny patterns in there. I'm not sure if it's supposed to save weight, but it's actually milled. So they're milling these holes in here in every bow to get out a few little metal or for the design or whatever. So possibly that's the price. And they have nice details fixing that. Here's again the same principle as we saw in the other one. It's one of three pawls. They're stacked with metals between that. Not sure if you can recognize it. The key operates in a very unusual way. It presses here with a very short lever, and your lever here is shorter than the one of the spring, so you need quite some force to get down the pawls. And the important detail is this is the mechanism in its full. I think it's always nice to see that because usually they don't show you the details. And the thing is here in these small gaps, the sheets of metal continue. So for this is a double locking bar here. You could see before. This is this thing. It can also activate it with the finger and pressed in. So the sheets go up here. So to deactivate the double lock, you also need a three-bitted part. And to make it even more difficult, if you look here, it's against this little notch. So it's not enough to simply push this in, because that you possibly could do it just one of the parts and push the whole thing in. But the key comes from here, and has to push it first down and then away. So that's really hard to do with one of your lock picking tools, for example. You can do it one by one, so trying the first, trying the second, and it's basically like lock picking doors, because you don't know which one will go out first, so you have all three again and again with a bent tension tool or something like that. But that's actually working quite well as a prevention of deactivating the double locks. That's what the others should have done too. And the other thing is that the shim prevention this time is in the housing. So here would be the pawls, and this notch here will catch your shim and this doesn't go down when you push in the bow. You can still shim it if you bend your shim in the shape of the bow before, so it really has to go tight with the bow. But if you do that too much, it will get, of course, get caught by the teeth. So you really have to follow the shape of the bows. It's shimmable, we tried it. And it has to be a very wide shim because it's a very wide opening, so none of the commercial shims you can bind down there works. So this actually is a quite well-working cuff, given that it has this unusual, but of course for all cuffs the same key, but it's not used anywhere for real, so I think it was just interesting to show. Possibly if the recession is over, everybody will get one. Yeah. Talking about everybody will get one, and coming back to the U.S., so for things possibly more important for the Department of Homeland Security, there's the Gotcha handcuff. The story of the Gotcha handcuff is going many years into the past. There's a patent number on there. I can possibly read it later to you, or can look it up on the internet. There's a patent. And it was announced years ago as the solution for all these problems with concealed keys, with shimming. Basically, it's the answer to everything. I think it will find the great unified theory and whatever you need. But there's a problem. The inventors themselves sued each other about who registered the patent online. I think I read the, or tried to read the law papers about it. And it basically was the person who founded the company was sued by the inventor of the cuffs for filing in the patents, because filing in the patents shows the inside workings which he wanted to keep secret. So this is what you shouldn't see. It's an unusual mechanism with wheels here, fused wheels. So shimming is not possible, because any shim will go here and will get stuck between the wheels. The locking is done here by this shaped pin, which is beveled in one direction. So by moving in the bow, this turns this way and pushes this pin in, and the key goes in here and moves this little part. It can have three positions. The one is it all over there, then this thing is free to move. Now then in this position it's free to move, so it can move back. If you push it even more, like using this little space, then it's removed from the wheels and it just swings freely. And if you put it to this position, the spring here will hold it. I hope it's strong enough to prevent the force coming in from this, but it's, as it's a really bad gearing, I think it's a very hard force would be needed to get it out. It holds it closed completely, so that's the double lock and the opening in all in one part. Quite a clever design, but as they suit themselves and everything, they possibly, I think they announced producing it again, so if the Department of Homeland Security wants to buy secure cuffs, they can already apply for some, but none have delivered yet. So this cuff actually does not exist at all. Nobody has it. So it's very difficult to make a key for it which would look like this. So if you would have the handcuff, it would look like this. And if you would look at the key, it would be a round thing with three little bevels inside. We can later try to take the exact measurements of that cuff if we had it, and try to find out what radius it is and everything. But the idea is not that bad, because this is like a little triangle, but round. Triangle, but round. So you can't easily grab it. It has the same diameter in all directions, so moving around with a fixed size won't work. You really have to reproduce something like that. Possibly a 3D printer can do it. We have to try that. But, of course, we would have to get the cuff for that. We'll try what we can do. Yeah, here's the detail again. So this is the locking part. In the patent, actually, it looks like differently. They planned, obviously, to have something with three milled notches in that round part. But it's the same idea, basically, to have something to fit on this pole and to turn it. The springs are supposed to be very hard in that. So it's really quite some force needed. I think that might also be a problem for 3D printing this key or something. And I'm not sure if 3D printing keys is at all a good idea, but we will see that. Okay, there's another handcuff I want to talk about, and I hope you will like it most, because I really liked it. This is the advertisement from the company. It's really nice that the quoting is from there, so you have to be able to contain a serious incident and restrain a physically violent and dangerous passenger. Not sure it's a physically dangerous passenger. Until the authorities are able to board the aircraft, that's you. Security Care have developed a revolutionary two-piece restraint kit specifically for airlines, and it's already installed on some of the world's best-known airlines. I tried to find out on my plane here if they had it. They had obviously an air marshal on board, but he didn't want to come and show me. But it's supposed to look like this. It's a handcuff with a, instead of a chain, it has a very large ring here, so it gets hooked up to one of the straps. This strap actually goes below the chair and then up the rear part of the chair of the airplane seat, and this goes around your chest, so you're somehow sitting in the chair, being restrained to the chair and having the cuffs down by the other belt. There's actually a very nice explanation coming with the set. I possibly can show you a scan later if there's some time, which has some nice pictures and some nice comments about how to use it, like work as a team to tighten the belts and stuff like that. Very, very motivating for the aircraft crew to restrain the potentially dangerous, no, I think they were in quotations, prisoner. The interesting thing about this is that there's a high security version which contains the so-called CHUP detainer handcuffs. There's also a version which contains standard handcuffs, but we know already that there's a plastic key for standard handcuffs, and of course we know whatever they will do, they won't find a plastic key when you're boarding the plane. So for the detainers, there's a problem because the key is sail restricted. It's a three-lever CHUP lock, so if you know what a CHUP lock is, it's quite a difficult to pick lock, but it can be picked. We can try later in the picking area. But that's actually a very, very difficult lock to open, and the key is not available to the general public, because of course this cuff is only sold by some UK company and they're very strict about who they sell to and everything, so you would first have to get the measurements and everything. Very difficult. Sorry? The green flat ones selling down there, I have to call somebody. Oh, that we have to check that. That sounds very dangerous. We have somebody telling the audience that they are selling green stuff down there, which is supposed to be for CHUP. I'm not sure what it means. I have to call my supervisor. So, but possibly it has to do something with what I mentioned in the beginning, what these criminals do today. This is the computer-aided key replication. This is a really nasty thing because all these secret keys we have developed for the handcuffs, the companies have developed for us, with help of our government funding, of course, are based on the concept that nobody has this key. So if it would be replicated, it would be shared on the internet, it would be a catastrophe. You shouldn't really rely on such a concept. So always assume that the criminals have the key. You should know that as an officer of the Homeland Security Department. So 3D printing is one of the variations to computer-aided key replication. And luckily it didn't hit us, it hit the Dutch police, because there was this Dutch hacker camp in 2009, and some crazy guy presented a 3D printed key for their very restricted key handcuffs, which also have a three-level CHUP lock, a very small one, but only two key codes, so it's up, down, up. But still it's what I said before applies. It's very hard to pick. You need to pick the individual parts of it. So it's actually real lock picking needed to open that cuff, and the key could basically not bite by the general public. So that really was a problem. And of course it was all over the internet. That's the real problem with this stuff. If someone does it at some conference in Holland where nobody cares, some people put it up the internet and then it's everywhere. So that really wasn't nice, so there had to be a reaction needed. And the Dutch police wrote out an order for 6,000 new handcuffs they want to buy, with an option for 4,000 or 5,000 more or so, because the old ones are worn out and everything. There was no mentioning of that little incident, but of course you wouldn't want to tell anybody about that. The funniest part of all requirements is that it specifies they can only be opened with the correct key. And the good thing about that, this requirement is very easy to fulfill, because every lock is only opened with the correct key. The wrong key won't open it.
So I would simply say the 3D printed key is a correct key. It opens the cuff still fulfills the specification, and they don't have to buy the new one, so it saves the Dutch people some money, but we'll see for that. I don't know if you know Barry from Tool. He has a Blackback blog, and he also blogged about this thing that's the top entry here when you search for 3D printed handcuff keys. And he had a very interesting recommendation to the Dutch police. I'm not sure who this Ray guy is, but as far as I know, they haven't asked him yet. So this Ray guy was possibly a bit boring and was looking for new targets. You remember that the restraint set I showed before, the problem of it is it's very difficult to get. But luckily, I don't know if you know Kim.com, but he didn't need his private jet anymore. And he sold a few of the parts on eBay to get money for his Ferrari. So inside this kit, there's this nice chub handcuff, which we saw in the picture before, having the chub lock. This handcuff is also available with a normal chain from Chub Custodial Limited, and it's basically used in the UK. So I don't know if Julian Assange is watching right now, but that's possibly something you should look out for. Okay, so what I took another one from the UK, opened it up a little. I don't know if you can really see it, but you can see it better down there. So again, there's inside the mechanism, and it put some plexiglass on it, so you can look inside and see what's actually happening. Here's three plates above each other building a chub lock. So these have to be pressed down by the correct key code, which is basically like stairs. And if they're pressed down all to this correct height, this is how a chub lock works. I don't think you can really see it good here, but later in the workshop you'll be able to have a look at it. It will press down. So basically what you need is some stair-shaped thing which presses down in the correct adjustments these things. My first attempt was look around you, improvise, and I saw my credit card. Oh, it's plastic. Plastic can be cut easily. I cut my finger first, then I cut the key. So here's the original key. Sorry, I put it a little too high so you can see it. There's one part here, this is the part actually moving the mechanism of the lock, and then there's three stairs, which are the key code. So these press these three parts of metal to the correct height, and this one really operates. My credit card key was able to operate the lock. It was a bit weak to really open the cuff, because you have to push down a spring then, and of course you need some force for that, and the credit card bent. If you don't have anything else except for a credit card, most people have a second credit card. I think if you take two of your credit cards and cut the right key, put them together, it might work. So as long as you don't have two credit cards, and today the recession everything, not many people have, there's the alternative of computer-aided key replication. So I took QCAD. QCAD is a 2D drawing program. It's open source and all this good stuff. So you can design your key with it. You get the measurement from the original key. But I assume this file will turn up somewhere in the interwebs, so you have to be aware. And have a 2D model. From a 2D model, there's a very easy way to get to a 3D model using the nice software called OpenSCAD. That's really a thing of one line of code, which says linear extrude my DXF file with the height of 2.0 millimeters, and I get this nice 3D model of a flat key. Of course, the original key is not flat in this part, but rounded, but that doesn't really matter. Important is that I can turn it inside the round hole. So I actually did some calculations with Pythagoras and everything to find out if I have a 4 millimeter round hole and a 2 millimeter height key, how long have to be my key that it can turn out. It turns out it's about 3.5 millimeters, which I have here for turning, but it turns out it's all not that important because you have quite some movement inside the keyhole. So from there, we go to the 3D printer and get that. And the funny thing is it actually works. I have to look. I think I should have one here. If you take it out of the 3D printer, in my printer, it comes out like this, so it's on a raft, so I have to cut it off the raft, so it's quite some work. And then you get this nice plastic key.
Here first, this is the double locking mechanism, so you see it possibly moves. It's very easy because you don't need any force for it. It just perfectly opens the lock and moves down the double locking bar. So now I could already shim it, but it bends a little and opens. So now I actually have a plastic key for my airline restraints, which actually is a nice thing to have because I can always carry, as an air marshal, for example, you can carry your plastic keys without having the hassle as a security to show your ID and everything. Just board the plane with your keys and nobody will bother you. It's even better to keep your identity as an air marshal secret. So, 3D printing is a very time-consuming process. So if I would like to produce many of these keys and cut them off the raft, but they have machines down there which don't need the raft, so it's actually a little bit faster, but it still needs like 5 minutes per key and heating and cooling down. It's quite some work. So there's the laser cutter, the newest toy of the 3D do-it-yourself community. Still quite expensive, but they are around, people use them. And printing like these 10 keys or whatever it is just takes 2 minutes or 3 minutes or something like that. And the nice thing is I actually could directly use the DXF, which I produced for the 3D key, and import it to the 3D printer and multiply it. So, of course, the 3D printed key is ABS, and this now is acrylic glass. Acrylic glass is much stiffer than the ABS, but it's also quite harder. So I had to try it, and it works again. Possibly I have one here. It works basically the same as the key before, except that it won't bend, but it can break. That's the downturn. But if you don't push too hard, it doesn't break, and it really works flawless. So I thought that's a nice thing to have, and let the laser cutter do some more. So if somebody saw strange green things down there for sale, they might have leaked. I'm not really sure if it's something you really have to have, but it's a sear pick booth down in the hall. Are selling a few of those as a nice remember item for your home conference. And it's a very nice laser cut piece. If you really use it, you have to be careful not to break it off. So don't really push hard on the opening. It's strong enough until the cuff opens, not strong enough for much more force. So that worked really well, I think. So I thought, do some more. You remember we had in this presentation two other cuffs, which have highly restricted government-only secret keys. So this here actually is this new German handcuff, the Clouseau number 9. And this is this Bonomi cuff nobody has. The problem is, they basically all work. The nice thing for the German officers among you is that the Clouseau one doesn't work very well because it's unable to open the double lock. As I said, the German engineers added too much springs for everything, so it's hard to assemble thing. And that really needs some force to open, and the acrylic glass breaks all the time. I have been trying with another guy from the MakerBot booth down there to print an ABS part which only opens the double lock, because for the normal locking mechanism, the printer is not fine enough. It's really, don't know if you can see it here, but see it's three very, I think, 1 millimeter, 0.8 or something, three parts here. So that is best done with a laser cutter. But the other side, which only opens the double locks, there's some space, this possibly can be printed. So the current idea is to print a double lock opening tool, which opens a double lock, and then has the laser cut key to open the cuff. But so far, it doesn't really work out. The other thing is the Bonomi cuff. Which originally comes with a nice steel key. As I said, also only sold to the special forces, so it's basically not available to hackers, but that's a good thing. We just hope that they don't get the measurements. And I have, of course, to keep the file secret. The bad thing about those is that, as I said, already the original key needs a lot of force to open the cuff, And so here's the risk of breaking is quite high. You really have to be careful, push in a little, because pushing in actually pushes the teeth down. So the force you can apply with the bow doesn't have to be applied with the key, but eventually it works. So this key so far we don't have seen lying around down there, but possibly some will turn up. I don't know, for the visitors of future Germany in 10 years or whenever the recession is over, so they buy these cuffs. Mm-hmm. Or you just wait until everybody has his laser cutter and cuts his own keys. Okay, as I told you already, we'll be doing a workshop at 2012, so you have some time to get down, and we have some time to get down because there's now, after my talk, there's a talk about Mastering Master Key Systems by David Ollam, which I really recommend to everybody interested in key systems, key system security, getting master keys to your building and everything. And I didn't want to have you decide if you go to the workshop or go to the talk. So go to the talk and then go to our workshop down there and try out the keys and look at them and whatever. And that's the end of my talk. So thank you for listening. Wait for questions. I'm taking questions. And thanks to everybody who helped me, bringing cuffs, bringing stuff that doesn't exist, leaking stuff from the police department, everything. So are there any questions? We have 5 minutes reserved for questions. I don't know where you have to come because I don't see anything. Ah, now we have light. There's a microphone, and I'm willingly answering any handcuff-related questions you might have. Sorry, what is?
You have ways to make them talk.
A ways to make them talk with electroshocks, or what do you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, we have one question.
I was wondering if you have anything interesting on zip ties.
Sorry?
Zip ties, the plastic, sort of pull in.
Zip ties, yeah. He was asking about, I think he's from the Occupy Wall Street movement. And he's asking about zip ties. I have a very simple answer to that. And that is this tool. This tool is sold to police officers so they can remove plastic cuffs without the risk of injury, and it doesn't look very knife-like. It also has a very small part of metal inside, so it's possibly not really recognized by a metal detector. So if you have that in your pocket on your Occupy demonstration or whatever, they possibly won't recognize it. And the cable tie goes in here, you press it together, it gets divided, and there's no risk of injury. So getting in your police shop one of the cable tie cutters possibly is the best answer for your next Occupy movement. Are there any more questions? Oh, who asked the question? I decided to give one plastic key to clever questions, so come up here. And get your original tried out on the talk plastic key you have. Now you can sell it on eBay, I think, for a fortune. So is there another question? And even if you try to make up one just to get the key. But it has to be clever, sir.
Oh, it's not clever. It was just not clever. You had the problem with using polyacrylate when you're using the laser cutter, that it's a brittle plastic. Well, the laser cutters cut polycarbonate, which is a much more resilient and stronger plastic.
Yeah, I'm not really an expert on the laser cutting plastic. Our laser cutter guy said we couldn't cut PVC, he couldn't cut ABS because it was melting too much, and I didn't have any other material. But that's something I was planning to look into.
Yeah, try polycarbonate.
Polycarbonate,
one of the brand names is Lexan. It's what they use
Lexan, I know, yeah. Okay.
They use for, you know, jet canopies and cockpits. So it's very resilient, and it's shock resistant, and it's not brittle.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was planning to do back in Germany, to put more research into that. Because the laser cutting thing was really done in the last week, so. But thanks for the explanation, and I think, of course, you get a plastic key for that. Okay, do we have a third question? I have a few more keys here. There's one, but please go to the microphone because others don't hear the question then.
If you know which handcuffs are going to be used on you, what's the best way to conceal them, and if your hands are behind the back, how do you get them out?
Basically, in most cases, a standard handcuff will be used on you, so it's really one of those American versions which use a standard key.
So everything reachable in the back, of course, is a good idea to hide the key. For example, my trousers have buttons back there where I could sew the concealable key from the other side. Of course, I don't tell you where to do it, because just be creative and be more creative than the person searching you, which of course may be some bad Mexican guy as you're the Hopeland security officers. Okay, come here and get the key.
Okay,
I'm no risk of losing the keys because I only have 1 minute left, so there's no too many questions here.
Okay, what is the legality of walking around one of these things? I'm kind of curious. Depends on which country, I guess.
A very good question. What's the legality? I have checked and I have found one law in Miami, I think, which people reported said it's illegal to carry a concealed key. This is wrong. You have to report a concealed key in the moment of arrest. If you don't do that, it's a felony on its own to have a hidden key, but it can be metal or whatever. But this here, this material here is illegal. Only carrying during arrest and not reporting is illegal in Miami and possibly under other states, so check your local laws for carrying hidden keys. I think that should be the last question, right? One question more? One question is allowed. Get your key. I'm ruining the sales down there, I think. You all should go there and get one of your keys your own. It's limited supply.
Legalization of improvised shims?
Improvised shims.
What is the legality of legal. Having an improvised shim upon getting arrested?
I have never read of any laws prohibiting improvised shims. Possibly they would be considered lock-picking tools, so they fall under the laws of lock-picking tools. Like, for example, what I heard in New York, it's illegal to carry lock-picking tools with a criminal intent. So it's a thought crime to have a lock-picking tool, but except for that... Okay. Are you actually from the Department of Homeland Security, wearing proud of the T-shirt? Thank you, officers, for this hearing. I hope my parole officer will like it.